Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and HR Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabel, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on gold when we come back. You know, the income tax and Social Security programs are not compatible with our traditional American values, and that's because these two programs are the second and the eighth planks to the Communist Manifesto. And these programs call for a heavy progressive income tax in place of tithing. Social Security is a social welfare scheme that takes the place of strict liability and individual responsibility. Now, the income tax requires of us that we serve two masters in violation of Matthew 6, verse 24. The income tax requires of us that we rob God in violation of Malachi 3, verse 8. The income tax requires of us that we commit idolatry in violation of Exodus 20, verse 3. The income tax requires of us that we use unjust weights and balances in violation of Leviticus 19, verse 35 and 36. The income tax requires that we sign contracts with these foreign and alien gods in violation of Exodus 23, verses 32 and 33. And Social Security violates the strict liability statute in Exodus 21, verses 28 through 36. And Social Security violates the 10th commandment by appealing to our lust and greed, and then you and I are taught to call this income redistribution. The scripture calls it just what it is, covetousness and theft in violation of Exodus 20 verses 15 and 17. Now, I know the God of Israel gave us a better way of life than that, and our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention in 1787 followed that better way and gave us Article 1, Section 10 of our Constitution, which says no state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debt. And that's why I contend that you and I ought to learn how to practice a better way of life than income tax and Social Security. Now, for more information about tax and status, why don't you call us here at the law school? The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. And while you're at it, be sure to ask for our free general law CD package. Remember, that's a free four-hour commentary on the Gordon Law School. It's entertaining, educational, informative, and free of charge. Tax and status is available on compact disc, that's the school, for adult home education. And if you are online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, last time we were reading from a treatise called In the Footsteps of Giants, written by a gold broker, written by an inside trader, a gold trader over in London, England. And he wanted to make public what's going on behind the scenes in the gold market. And he's already showed us that there's more gold traded every day, more gold traded every day than there has ever been traded in all the history of the world. You know, that's for those of you out there that think that gold is just an old dinosaur, it's a relic of the past, and it doesn't have anything to do with modern commerce today. The reason that you have cheap oil at $70 a barrel, children, is because gold is at $600 an ounce. Because when the break comes between gold and oil, this cheap gold and cheap oil, the price of gold is going to go into the stratosphere. And the numbers that we see, you know, 1,000, 2,000, 5,000, 10,000, this broker says here that in U.S. dollar terms, $10,000 plus is in the future. Not that that means anything. Because if $10,000, a $10,000 bill buys a loaf of bread, then the dollars aren't worth very much, are they? And pricing gold in dollars or fiat currencies is preposterous, and this guy's pointing that out. Gold is not now, nor has it ever been priced in fiat currency. Gold is priced in oil. Oil is the backing for currencies worldwide, and that's why oil is traded in dollars, and all value is in dollars and oil. And the reason that we have cheap oil is because we have cheap gold. You see, the cheap oil made it possible, or the cheap gold, I should say, made it possible for the Arab Straits to sell cheap oil because they could convert their dollars into gold. And they've been doing that, you know, for many, many years. And this isn't something that started last week, last month, when the market turned around here, you know, in gold, and that's what people want to know. Hey, Gordon, how come you're interested in promoting this gold thing over here? Hell, the market's broke, the bull market's dead, and we better go back to stocks and bonds. Well, go ahead. You know, if you're thinking like, as Mr. Another says, if you're thinking like simple man, well, buy stocks and bonds. You know, listen to Louis Rukeyser and Wall Street Week. Well, Louis died the other day, but you know, that's where people get their economic news. They get it off of the Wall Street Week or the Lou Dobbs or somebody like that. That's the crap that's out there for public consumption. Now, in the footsteps of giants is the story here about, well, what are the Buffett's doing, and what is the United Arab Emirates doing? Now, the country of Iran has just cashed out all of their U.S. dollars, and they have converted that to Asian banks. In fact, I think they took it over to the Bank of Japan. They're the first ones to break ranks. The Iranians, the problem in Iran, boys and girls, has nothing to do with nuclear weapons. It has everything to do with oil. The war in Iraq has nothing to do with regime change, has nothing to do with democracy, has nothing to do with the Iraqi people. It has to do with 25% of the world's oil reserves. Nothing more, nothing less. And this little tiff over Iran over here, you know, even the news media is starting to ask questions like, well, why is it we're making such sweet overtures to the Iranians and not the North Koreans? So the North Koreans the other day, to get some attention, they put a missile on the launch pad. Let me tell you how this will come down. Let's suppose that the North Koreans launch a missile, and I think they've got enough nuclear weapons, and they might have enough gasoline to stick into their nuclear missile to hit Los Angeles. And the minute that missile hits Los Angeles, North Korea will be total toast. There won't be 150 North Koreans left alive when the retaliatory response occurs. And hell, everybody in North Korea knows that. There's no problem with North Korea. And that's because there's no oil in North Korea. Now, boys and girls, if there was oil in North Korea, there'd be big trouble ahead. There's no oil there. And the worst thing that can happen is for those Iranians to come up with a nuclear weapon, because, you know, ain't nothing like having a nuclear weapon and oil. Which, by the way, I saw a report the other day from International Forecaster says that the Pakistanis have supplied the Saudi Arabians with nuclear weapons, and the Saudis are sitting there with a whole bunch of nukes. They're all aimed at Israel. So, boys and girls, the big problems that are coming up in the Middle East, and that's exactly what Bible prophecy told us was going to happen. The big problems are going to happen in the Middle East. Now, pay attention, because it's happening over oil. And what you see on the CBS Evening News and what you hear on Lou Dobbs and Louis Rukeyser, that's for public consumption, to keep you satiated. And then when the break comes, when the big collapse comes, there's an old story in the Bible about about 10 virgins. And it has to do with the second coming of Christ. And the story is, I think it's in Matthew 25, and there's 10 virgins over here. Five of them have oil for their lamps, and five of them don't. And so here comes the bridegroom, pictures the Messiah returning. And the five that have the oil in their lamps, they light their lamps, and they're going out to meet the bridegroom. Well, there's five virgins that don't have lamp in their oil. So they come up to the five virgins that have the oil, and they say, well, give us some oil. Share with us. Share and share alike. From each according to his ability and to each according to his need. You've got the ability to supply us, and we have a need. And these five capitalist virgins say, oh, no. We're going to practice triage here. Triage. You see, if we share with you, we won't have enough either. And then in no sense all 10 of us dying. And then five of us over here have plenty of oil, so five of us are going to survive. It's you five over there that have the problem, not us. So no, we're not going to share with you. Not very Christian, is it? But then, the Bible is not a Christian book. Yeah, that's right. The Bible isn't a Christian book. Christians don't follow the Scripture. Christians don't follow the Bible. Christians are pig-eating Christians. The Bible says don't eat pig. Christians eat pig. You just take any statement in the Bible. Jesus himself said it in Luke 6:46. He said, why do you Christians call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Why do you call Jesus Lord and do not the things which he says? He asked you that. So in the judgment, always remember that. Now, this guy, another over here, says, what's the end of all this? How is all this going to end? Well, as the central banks, he says, never sold much of their gold. Remember I told you the other day that the central banks aren't out there selling gold. Hell, they got more gold today than they've ever had. They're net buyers. Central bank. They're still locked to the deals through the Bank of International Settlements. Out here in the real world, it was stocks of gold outside the governments that got traded. And that trading multiplied many times. Today, more gold is traded than exists. This paper today, called paper gold, has become the gold pricing standard without any backing. There is no way out. And as we have reached production cost, we have reached the end of the game. Without real physical gold to supply the oil states will bid for gold with oil. The Bank of International Settlements will do the only thing that they can do at that point in time. They will halt all trading and declare gold a world oil currency. And to that end, all forms of paper gold will burn. And how long until this starts? I understand that the central banks are slowly winding down lending, then sales. This will no doubt start a paper panic at some time. Now, that could take weeks or years. I don't know. As for the old agreement of oil-gold ratio, it went out the window after the first Gulf War. Right after the Gulf War, it's out the window. Now, we should take it into consideration here some of these terms that are used in gold, so I thought I'd share that with you here. Things like the 1933 devaluation of the dollar. Remember, in 1930, an ounce of gold was a $20 double eagle. It actually contained 9/10 of an ounce of gold, and it sold for $20.67. Gold was $20.67 an ounce in round numbers, and then FDR raised it up. See, America couldn't meet its commitments, so they devalued the dollar by 60% by raising the price of gold from $20.67 to $35 an ounce. Just that simple. Now we're on the verge of having the dollar devalued. See, we can't pay for all of these imports that are coming into the country. And so we got to have an orderly decline in the value of the dollar. You know, you can't adjust the price of gold. We're not on the gold standard. We're on the oil standard. Oil. Oil is what backs the United States dollar. And so the Arabs are sitting over there saying, well, we're about to take it in the shorts. And so when this devaluation occurs, you can rest assured that oil is going to move from $70 a barrel to $700 or $7,000 a barrel. I don't know where it's going to go, but you know, those people over there aren't stupid. They're not going to give you their oil, their valuable asset oil, for worthless pieces of paper. Children, let's wake up and get real. We Americans can print paper. We can put out stocks and bonds, and we can put out treasury bills and take people's oil. And as long as those people believe, honest to God, believe that sometime in the future we're going to get some real value for that, you can do that, and they'll give you their oil. But they're in the process now of coming to the conclusion that they're not going to get paid, which is pretty obvious. There's not enough goods out there to pay everybody. Let me give you an illustration. I said the other day, and I'm going to say it again, gold's valuable, but food is even more valuable. And boys and girls, I can't think of anything better than water in a drought or food in a famine. And you got both coming at the same time. You got drought and famine coming, and I can't think of anything more valuable than food in a famine. And boys and girls, if I'm sitting here with food and you're sitting over there with gold and you're hungry and I'm not, and you come to me and say, George, I would like to buy some food with my gold, I'm going to look at the gold and say, well, what am I going to get for the gold? Can I replace my stocks of food with the gold? And if the answer to that question is no, can the virgins replace their oil if they give it to the five foolish virgins? And the answer is no, they can't. Well, then they're not going to give it away. They're not going to give it up. The only time that we trade something, children, in business, is when we can replenish our inventory. When inventory cannot be replenished, those goods become so valuable, they're priceless. They're absolutely priceless. And that's why gold will cease to trade. What are you going to give me for gold? You're going to give me euros? Russian rubles? You're going to give me Somali treasury bills? For what? You've got to be out of your mind. Now today, the reason that gold is being artificially held down, and the reason that the gold suppression cartel is suppressing the price of gold, and this is the Bank of International Settlements. If you want to know who the ultimate people are in the world that control the economies of the world, it's the Bank of International Settlements, the BIS. They're the head honchos. Those are the top dogs. So tuck that one away in your heart and understand it. And a devaluation is coming whether you like it or not. And when the devaluation comes, the price of goods coming into the country is going to go up by whatever the devaluation is. Now, they're in hopes of giving us an orderly, systematic devaluation a little at a time. Well, okay, I wish them luck, and I hope it works, because it'll be a lot better for all of us. But it's never happened in the past. It isn't very likely to happen now. And when this thing comes, it'll probably come like a thief in the night. Now, Jesus told us plainly in Matthew 24, he said, the second coming is going to happen like a thief in the night. It's going to happen like Noah's flood. They were marrying and giving in marriage, and they were getting in their cars, and they were commuting to work, and they were just doing everything that everybody does right now today. And all of a sudden, the flood came and took them all away. He said, the second coming is going to be exactly that way. And when the second coming occurs, it'll come like a shock. It'll be a total surprise to everybody. It's not going to be announced to children in the Wall Street Journal or in the New York Times. You're not going to see it first on CNN. And when it happens, it'll be past tense, and you'll sit there with shocked, as they say, shock and awe, you know, shock and awe. Now, we Americans have been using our houses as equity conversion to make up for the lost wages and the outsourcing of our jobs. We're using our credit and credit cards. And so far, it's been working. But boys and girls, there's an end to that. You know, just take a look at your own finances and think for a minute. You got your credit cards, and they're not maxed out yet, but they're about half maxed out. Do you have prospects that your job, whatever it might be, is going to continue forever? Do you have prospects that your job is going to continue to pay you with the same purchasing power in the future that it's paying you today? If you do, you're all right. Now, if you're a pensioner with Delta Airlines, or if you're working for some major corporation, I think you better start thinking about what you're going to do when this economic collapse occurs. Now, in the 1930s, when it occurred, Franklin Roosevelt closed the bank for 6 weeks, closed all the banks in the country for 6 weeks. Now, picture this. You can't buy, you can't sell, you can't trade for 6 weeks. Your checks are no good, you can't deposit money, you can't withdraw money. Now, have you got 6 weeks worth of food? Have you got 6 weeks worth of gasoline? Have you got 6 weeks worth of everything that you're going to need to weather the storm until the banks reopen? Now, when the banks reopened, you know, we went back to business as usual. You know, we had a different color money. We'd have different size money. Gold was now banned, and you know, it was a new economic regime. That was a collapse of the economy, 1933. Now, your parents got through the Great Depression. It was tough, and you've heard these stories about how tough it was. Okay. Well, this time it's going to be even worse. That's what all the pundits are telling. It's going to be as bad as and probably a whole lot worse than what we had before. So that being the case, tuck it away in your heart and ask yourself, well, what preparations could I make that might obviate that problem? Now, if you've got $100,000 right now, and this is the question that people are asking me, you know, let's suppose that you sold your house and you got $100,000 sitting in the bank, and the bank closes. Well, now what in the hell good is your $100,000 in the bank? And when the devaluation occurs, and you're sitting there now with $100,000 worth of purchasing power today, and when Roosevelt got through, you had $40,000 left. You lost 60%. Or if the bank closes, in many cases, people got nothing. They had $100,000 in the bank. The bank closed, and they got nothing. Zero. Zilch. And you say, well, I've got federal deposit insurance. Okay, let's try this one on. Federal deposit insurance. Wonderful. You got $100,000 in the bank. The bank closes. They devalue, and they pay you the $100,000 that they owe you. But when they come up with this new money, there's a ratio. So they don't give you $100,000. They give you $40,000. So now you get $40,000 of the new purchasing power. That's determined by government. It's not determined by you. This just happened in Russia, you know, when they were back here a few years ago talking about Boris Yeltsin, you know, and this guy Putin, you know, and they had a revaluation of their money, and they always do it on Friday. And so the people went to bed on Friday and woke up on Monday with new money. Now bring your old money in, and here's what the conversion rate is, and they got wiped out by about 60-80%. Now, here's what could help you quite a bit. Let's suppose you got that $100,000 today, and you go down and you convert that into gold. And at today's prices of, say, $600, let's just try this out. $100,000 divided by $600. Now you get about 166 ounces of gold. Now, when this devaluation occurs, you can rest assured that when the balloon gets punctured, it's going to pop all in one big fell swoop. And when this happens, the price of gold, those of us that hold the gold right here aren't going to sell. I wouldn't sell you my gold for $1,000 an ounce today. You come and offer me $1,000 an ounce. Well, I probably would. I'd take your $1,000 and then run into the gold broker because I'm pretty cocky and confident that I can get more gold today. But I'm telling you, the gold window is going to close. And when the gold window closes, you know, $1,000 an ounce is chicken feed. Who the hell is going to give you gold for paper? Who's going to give you food when they can't replace the inventory? So the 166 ounces of gold, I think, is going to be a whole lot more valuable to you than the $100,000 in paper. You know, now, if you children want to invest in paper and play that simple game, well, get after it. Don't let me get in your way. But the letters I receive here want to know why. So I'm telling you, here's why I'm doing what I'm doing. And I'm doing what the Saudi Arabians are doing, and I'm doing what the Chinese and what the Indians have been doing for the last 15 years. I'm doing what Warren Buffett did in 1997. I'm getting out of paper and into commodities. Out of paper. I don't want euros. I don't want General Motors stock. I don't want government securities and government. I don't want paper gold. I want physical possession of the stuff itself. More importantly, I want physical possession and control of the means of production. I need to have a piece of land that I can produce food on. You know, you people living in Denver, it's a great place to live. God, I love the place. You know, and you're living in a condominium there in Denver. And when famine comes, where are you going to plant your seeds? Where are you going to grow the food that you cannot get from Walmart because the Chinese will not send it from China? The other day, I'm going to tell a story here. The other day, I had a student call up, and he said, hey, they got some strawberries down here, dried strawberries. And I said, well, where do they come from? Came from China. Chinese, dried strawberries. I'd never seen dried strawberries before. And so, well, let's take a look at them. And I got a package of them. They're about a pound or a pound and a half to a package. And they were dirt cheap, and they were salvaged. They were out of date, so it was, you know, best if used by. Oh, they were out of date. Well, children, I've got some peaches in my storeroom here that were dried back in 1979. And every time I have a class, you know, on subsistence and survival or $100,000 class, I pull out that jar of peaches and I give all the students peach from 1979. See, dried fruit, dried food, it doesn't lose its nutrition, and it doesn't lose its value because it's 20 or 30 or 50 or 100 or 1,000 years old. You know, dried grains taken out of the pyramid, you know, still sprouted. Do you know that? So anyway, I bought a package of them. And, hey, these are really good, really tasty. And so I bought a bunch of them. Now, I know that in the future, you guys are going to say, well, hey, well, Gordon's got some dried strawberries over there, and I want to trade Gordon gold for his dried strawberries. And I'm going to tell you, boys and girls, I can't replace that inventory. It was a one-time sale only. And I'm not going to sell you my dried strawberries for gold. I think food in a famine is more valuable than gold. And I'll guarantee you that the gold is a hell of a lot more valuable than paper. Paper is not money, but gold is. So, again, you know, you asked me the question, so I've just told you the answer. So I think, you know, just between us girls, I think that you'd be better advised to take whatever cash you've got, whatever equity you've got, and convert that to something that you actually own. Now, let's try another one over here. Let's suppose you got a house, and this house is worth $300,000-$400,000. I told you about my daughter. You know, she had a house here that last year was worth $600,000. The other day, I think she said it was worth $450,000. So she already lost $150,000. Last year, she could have sold that house. She could have sold it. And taking out, she has a mortgage against it. She has to pay the mortgage off. But she could have walked out of there with probably $350,000 in cash, gone to Jacksonville, Florida, paid $150,000 cash, and bought a house just as big as the one that she's got there in Phoenix, and had a couple hundred thousand left over, and converted that to, 166 times two? 333 ounces of gold. And then she'd be sitting there with 333 ounces of gold and a house bought and paid for. She didn't do that. Now she's still got the house there in Phoenix, and the house is worth $450 now. And she still has the same mortgage against it. Now, let's suppose that she can't make her mortgage payments. You know what's going to happen to the house, don't you? It's going to be taken away from her, and then she'll be a bag lady under a bridge with no roof over her head. I asked her the other day, I said, how's your job over here? Now, one job that she had was outsourced to India, and she got the pleasure of training the Indian woman who came over here from India to take her job and go back to India and do that service in India. My daughter got the privilege of training her replacement. I asked her the other day, I said, how safe is your job? She said, well, I just received a raise and a promotion the other day, but I don't know how safe the job is. Okay, kids, it's time to wake up and smell the coffee. That'd be my advice. Wake up and smell the coffee. Hey, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, why don't you go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Remember, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from a scriptural perspective. And the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. And the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, then go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the webpage. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. Remember, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call us here at the Law School. The number is 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publishers and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give out do not mean that these authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are going to reciprocate and endorse and recommend the Law Hour and editorial review, and that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, or they're religious, economic, or they're sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, whose viewpoint is not necessarily 100% endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. So keep in mind that the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, or the sponsors, or management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. So don't blame them, blame me. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page or our website. I guess we should start with the website. The Law Hour and Editorial Review website, georgegordon.org. That's what it is, georgegordon.org. Or you can call us here direct at the law school. The number is 417-273-4967. Hey, let me put a plug in for this outfit out here in Denver that put out this report. It's called USA Gold. USA Gold. And it's just one word. I looked that up. It's USA Gold, all small letters, www.usagold.com. And listen, these guys, I've never heard of them before until my gold broker told me about them. And they're not paying me for the plug. And I'm not recommending that you buy gold from them. I couldn't care whether you buy gold or you buy General Motors stock. Just no skin off my back one way or the other. But this outfit over here has a guy working there, or did have at one time, named Michael J. Caceres, K-O-S-A-R-E-S. And he published a book called In the Footsteps of Giants. You want to follow in the footsteps of the giants like Saudi Arabia, Abu Dhabi, and the United Arab Emirates? Or this guy, Warren Buffett, you know, or some others, you know, that are converting their assets into hard money, gold and silver. And remember this, you know, a guy named Warren Buffett, now this guy's a multi-billionaire. Billionaire. Billion, spelled with a B, you know, billionaire. And you've got these assets over here called stocks and bonds and papers. Now, they're worth a lot of money. I mean, you know, if you had some General Motors stock today and you went and you sold it tomorrow, you'd get paid in $100 bills. And you could take that down to Walmart and convert that into Chinese garlic. And you know that, and I know that, but there's a day coming When that isn't going to work. And that's why those of us that are called gold bugs, they call us gold bugs. And people laugh at us and they make fun and, you know, jump up and down, hoot and holler, and one thing or another. So I say, well, geez, you know, guys don't want to get in the way of your happiness and success. You know, if you want to buy General Motors stock, get after it. I checked General Motors stock. They were actually pretty good last year. They were actually paying 5% dividends, them and General Electric, 5% dividends. Unfortunately, I wouldn't get out of bed for 5%. I guess people that buy stocks and bonds think 5% return on their investment is pretty good stuff. I didn't think that was very good. So yesterday, day before yesterday, I told you about converting gold and silver back and forth, you know, speculating against the gyrations of the dollar and the dollar value that's placed on gold and silver. And I said, you know, this guy Franklin Sanders, remember I told you about Franklin Sanders? I said, no, I think that guy Sanders got his head screwed on straight. That's what I do. I trade back and forth, and it's worked very well for me. And that's why I wouldn't get out of bed for 5%. Because, you know, in the one swing of the pendulum, and I make 400%. How many times is that? That's 20, 46. That's 80 times. Now, I would get out of bed for 80 times the 5% that I would make on General Motors stock, but I wouldn't get out of bed for 5% on GM stock. And I don't know of any other businessman in his right mind that would either. Businessmen. I'm not talking about investors now. I can't talk about investors. But businessmen, you know, we buy things for a dollar and sell them for two. Businessmen. They're businessmen and they're business boys. I think businessmen work on the 2% principle. That's called a keystone markup. And business boys, I think, invest in General Motors stock. Now, that's my opinion. So I told you about equity conversion. You know, if you got a $100,000 house, well, I guess I lost my train of thought here. This guy here, www.usa.gold. No, excuse me. Let me review that one again here. www.usagold.com. usagold.com. And they will, and you can download this. That's what Dirk did for me yesterday. Frank told me about the book, which is called In the Footsteps of Giants. And Frank got it from Kitco. Kitco.com. If you want the book, go to Kitco.com, see if they got it. If not, go to this outfit over here called www.usagold. All one word, usagold.com. And you can download this whole treatise in its raw form, not edited, of course. And it was edited and compiled by a guy named Michael J. Cassares. And it deals with a guy called Another. And he's an insider gold trader from London. Well, we think he's from London. And he doesn't want anybody to know that he's spilling the beans on the London Gold Exchange. And so he's kind of keeping his mouth shut. But he's telling us what's going on, but he's keeping his mouth shut about who he is. Market capitalization of gold. And listen, do you know how much gold there is in the world? Well, if you want to know how much gold there is in the world to buy, sell, and trade with, you know, buy, sell, and trade. There's about, they estimate about $2 billion worth, which is a drop in the bucket. Listen, they buy, sell, and trade on the London Gold Exchange by itself, $10 billion a day. 10B, that's B with a, like, boy, $10 billion a day, $4 trillion a year. How much gold is available? $2 billion, a drop in the bucket. So if you're a little guy and you got a $100,000 house, you can do what the big boys have been doing for many, many years and what the Chinese and the Indians and the Arabs have done. You can buy gold at bargain basement price. Boys and girls, gold at $1,000 an ounce today is a bargain basement price. And I told you why. Now, of course, I'm not going to pay $1,000 any more than you are if you can buy it for $564. But you see, that's because it's available today. And the reason it's available and available at this low price, at the commodity price, is because it's tied to oil. The reason that the Arabs are selling oil at $70 a barrel instead of $700 a barrel is because they can get gold at $600 an ounce. And I showed you that the correct number, you know, going back to 1933, 23 barrels for an ounce of gold. Today you get 8 barrels for an ounce of gold. And the Arabs are sitting there saying, as long as you keep gold now down to a price, cheap oil for cheap gold. And that's why they're working so hard to hold the price of gold down. And gold can be held down. And they can drive the price of gold even lower. Of course, there's other side effects that come from that. So will they drive the price of gold down to $400 or $300? I don't know. Maybe. And when they do, like the Arabs, I will be out there buying every ounce of gold I can get my hands on. I'll sell every nickel's worth of stocks and bonds and real estate and whatever I can to get a hold of gold, because there's an end to this cheap gold market. There's an end coming. We don't know when this end is coming, and Mr. Another said, and he said, I don't know. Now it's 10 years ago, 1997, said, I don't know. It's like the second coming of Christ. When is it coming? I don't know. But today is one day closer than yesterday. It's coming, and we just don't know when. Now Jesus said, very plainly, he said, you better be prepared for the second coming. Go back to Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. He tells you, if I catch any of you jerks out there sleeping at the switch, if I catch any of you guys unawares over there, you're going to be sad puppies. And the same thing's true here. This is just the prelude to it. But, you know, the Great Tribulation is about to descend upon us. And this big fight that you see going on over in the Middle East, Well, you know, the United States is going to use military might if that's what it takes, but we're taking the oil, whether they like it or not. Now, the Chinese and the Russians, they see the military might of the United States, and they say, well, our strategy is to take it by economic means, economics. So they have encouraged us Americans over here, and to a lesser extent, you Europeans, and they've got us spent into bankruptcy. They've got us dependent upon those Chinese shoes, those Chinese cheap TV sets, those cheap Japanese cars. And they have driven our auto industry out of business, and our shoe industry is out of business, and we can't compete with them. They're going to do to us economically what we did to the Japanese militarily. They are going to destroy us and take us into national captivity. And your God, the God of Israel, says they're going to succeed. So if you want to know what the end game is the United States of America is going into national captivity. And I suspect you Australians and Canadians are going right with us, troops. Because, hey, without our nuclear umbrella, what are you Canadians going to do? Huh? What do you Australians think you're going to do against the Chinese without our nuclear umbrella? And when we go upside down and we're facing the twin scourges of famine and drought at the same time, and you can sit here, you know, and thump your nuclear weapons, why don't you eat some uranium? If you think nukes are so good. And I imagine, you know, we're going to say, hey, you Chinese, you got to sell to us. Hey, those chinks over there, they don't need to sell anything to us. And then we can sit here and say, well, we're going to bomb your cities. They can survive it. So can the Indians. Honest to God, I think the Chinese are sitting in the driver's seat, and the Arabs have the corner on the gold market. Remember the Hunts? They wanted to corner the silver market back in 1979, and they tried mightily and failed. Well, they tried mightily and failed. Hey, listen, this guy says the Arabs have got the corner on the gold market. Now they've got the gold and the oil. Gold and the oil. Hey, that's a bad combination. Bad combination. And so the United States, slowly but surely, were bleeding from every pore, bleeding blood from every pore in Iraq and Afghanistan. Economically, we are dead. D-E-D, just dead as a doornail. Well, you know, rigor mortis hadn't set in, and we're still kicking. But there's no way in hell we can pay off these debts. And everybody in the world knows it, and they've known it for the last 15 or 20 years. This goes back to the Reagan years. Actually, I guess it actually goes back to the Bretton Woods Agreement of 1944, which was terminated in 1971. When Nixon closed the gold window, I think that was the beginning of the end, and by 1979, with the price of gold at $800. Paul Volcker, remember, he was the head honcho. He was the dean of the Federal Reserve. And old Volcker, he raised interest rates to 20%. But he pulled the world back from the brink. Old Volcker did that, Paul Volcker. Great big guy, about 6'16", weighs about 300 pounds. That guy is a giant physically. And, hey, he's one of the insiders. He knew what was going on. Then, remember, Reagan was elected president, and America became a net debtor nation during the Reagan years, about 1983. You know, from the world's number one creditor nation to now we're the world's number one debtor nation. Yeah, we accomplished that under President Reagan, God bless him. But, you know, that's the way the cookie crumbles. And now the Chinese, the Japanese, the Russians, the Russians, they're really doing an economic number. You know that they're racking up about $3 billion a week in trade surplus? I mean, a week? The Russians, bankrupt about 10 years ago, $3 billion a week. They got reserves, foreign reserves. $223 billion. They're about third in the world. The Japanese are number one at 650, Chinese around 600, and the Russians, foreign reserves, $223 billion, saw in the international forecast, I think, last week. And they're stocking up. I mean, they're making about $3 billion a week, selling mainly oil and natural gas to Western Europe. The Russians, the Chinese, the Indians, and the Arabs are going to stick it to us. And the battleground is going to be in Israel at the Battle of Megiddo. I want you to remember that, Battle of Megiddo. And we're going to be fighting over oil. And I got word the other day from the international forecaster that the Saudis over there bankrolled, now this is back about 20 years ago, bankrolled the Pakistanis in their nuclear bomb development, and the payoff was the Saudis get nuclear weapons from Pakistan. I don't know how many they got. Nobody knows how many the Israelis have either, but the Israelis are nuclear tipped, and so are the Saudis. Tuck that one away in your heart. Have you heard of the suppression cartel? Well, they're at work, and they are working to suppress the price of gold, but they're also manipulating the stock market. They're artificially keeping it up at the same time that they're holding the price of gold down, and they're doing their best to hold the market forces on oil. They're doing their best to hold them down, and as of just yesterday, you know, the price of gold's dropped down below $70. They got the stock market up around 11,000, 10.9, 10.8. They got the price of gold down to 564. I mean, they're working mightily behind the scenes over here, controlling these markets for your best interest, because when this thing turns turtle, hey, we're all toast. So you should be out here just working, you know, just praying your heart out that Ben Bernanke, you know, Helicopter Ben, is able to keep the lid on the pressure cooker for a little while longer. Because every day he does that is one more day that you have to unload your house, to unload the old maid onto somebody else. One day more that you've got to convert to something you know, whether it's gold or silver, or whether it's copper, or whether it's, you know, and if you don't own your house free and clear, you need to pay that off. Or you need to sell it, take your equity, and convert it to something tangible. Now I'm going to tell you one more little trick over here. I think you need a four-year supply of food. Yeah, four-year supply, bare minimum. And the example we get in the Bible, remember the scripture is written as an example for us to learn from? Seven-year supply is the example we get from Joseph. That's how much you need. I think a four-year supply plus the means of production, I think that'll do it. I think. I could be dead wrong. I mean, you could run out of food at the end of 4 years and starve to death in the fifth, sixth, and seventh, you know, in which case you didn't need any food stockpile at all. What difference does it make if you die in year one or die in year five or die in year six of the famine? I mean, you either survive or you don't. Always reminded me of the story of Anne Frank, you know, the little girl, the little Jewish girl, and they hid out in 1939, and they succeeded in hiding from the Germans in 1939, 40, 41, 42, and 43. Then in September of 44, they got caught, sent off to the concentration camps, and they were all killed. My question to you, what the hell difference did it make whether they got killed in 44 or 43 or 39 or 40? You know, dead's dead. Dead is dead. They failed in their mission of survival. You know, so be thinking about subsistence and survival from pragmatic terms. And, of course, the average Joe Sixpack, he's not thinking about subsistence and survival. He's thinking about Disneyland and Disney World, you know, and my pension. People are sitting there, oh, I'm going to retire. I'm going to buy a Winnebago and drive all over the country and buy a lot of $3 gas for my Winnebago. Boys and girls, that $3 gas is going to $6 gas. And $6 gas is going to $12 gas, and $12 gas is going to $24 gas. Now, how much Winnebago gas do you think you're going to be buying at 24 bucks a gallon? Children, wake up. The inflation rate's 10%, bare minimum. It's really more like 12. And we know that because Helicopter Ben is producing money at the rate of, on average, year over year, about 10% a year. Just name anything that hasn't gone up 10% in the last year. Just name something, would you? Hell, everything is up 10%. And then it's going up 10% again next year, and the year after that. And that's because it's already in the pipeline. And that's because these monetary excesses have already been put into the pipeline. They're already out there. Now, unless we get Helicopter Ben over here to do what Paul Volcker did and increase interest rates and to shut the economy down and start doing something more constructive and more intelligent, you know, well, there's going to be hyperinflation. That's banana republic time. You guys at Delta Airlines, now, did you pay attention now? Delta, filing for bankruptcy, wants to scrap its pension plan just like United did. Every airline's going to do that. All you pilots and all you flight attendants and all you mechanics are going to take it in the shorts. Bottom line, you're going to take it in the shorts. So it's time for you to start cashing out whatever you got and put it into something that's real tangible. Otherwise, you're going to be like those guys down in New Orleans over there looking to your government and FEMA to bail your chestnuts out of the fire, and that ain't going to happen. If you boys think that you're going to retire on the government, you know, the government's got this pension something or other, the P something B, you know, this acronym, you know, for the pension fund, you know, when the big companies dump their pension fund, the feds take over. Hell, the feds, boys and girls, are totally bankrupt. The only thing that keeps this thing going is the credit of the taxpayers of the United States. And the taxpayers of the United States, our credit's being exported and our jobs are being outsourced to India. Don't you think it's time that we woke up and paid attention to the coffee? I told you about these naked shorts over here. Gold is being sold as a naked short. Hell, nobody's got any gold to deliver. Go ahead and buy your paper gold. Go ahead and buy your gold mining stocks. You'll never collect anything on them. Now, right now, before anybody wakes up to reality, you know, you can cash those in and you can convert them to something. Hell, you'd be better off converting them to Oreo cookies for crying out loud than hang on to worthless paper. Now, this is called the Working Group on Financial Markets. Working Group on Financial Markets. That's known as the Plunge Protection Team. These guys have about $115 billion at their disposal to manipulate these markets, and they're doing it every day. The only reason the price of gold moved from 732 to 564 is because somebody said 564 is about where we want to hold it. And boys and girls, if they want to run it down to 464 or 364 or 264, they can do that too. Now, I'm not smart enough to figure out how do you balance the world's economy. This guy, Ben Bernanke, he's no dummy, you know. This guy's academically sharp as tacks. And they're over here, your Federal Reserve is over here working with the Bank of England and a lot of other real smart people out here trying to figure out how are we going to keep all these balls in the air at the same time. God bless them. I hope they can keep these balls in the air a little bit longer, because the longer they keep them in the air, the more time I've got to prepare for the disaster that's just about to occur. It's kind of like riding on the Titanic. I'm up here just working mightily, trying to put deck chairs together and lash them together in the bow of the ship. And every hour that goes by that gives me more time to lash my deck chairs together is good for me. Because once this thing hits the iceberg, we got 2 hours and 20 minutes, and then we're all swimming. And one of these days, we're all going to be swimming out here in a world economy that's upside down and sinking. And that's where reality is at. So when you write me a letter and you say, hey, how come you're so bullish on gold? And how come, you know, you're still buying gold, you know, when the market's going down and we should be selling that, don't you think, Mr. Gordon? Don't you think we should be investing back in stocks and bonds? And hey, What about real estate? And that's not another thing, you know. Hey, real estate's great. You know, I've been an old-timey general contractor and a real estate trader for 30, 40 years. And I started in 68, 78, 88, 98, 35 years. I'm not opposed to real estate. It's the greatest thing since sliced white bread. But, you know, there's some ways to buy real estate and make money at it, and there's some ways to buy real estate and lose your ass at it. So, what are you doing? How are you doing it? Stocks and bonds. I can't argue with these day traders, that are buying stock today and selling it tomorrow and making a little profit on it, If that's your thing in life, and you can do that, but you can rest assured that it's coming to an end. And so I like to get into something a little more long-term, a little more long-range. I was like riding on the Titanic, and I'm sitting here saying, I'm trying to think as far to the future as I can. And about April the 14th at 11:40 is about as far in the future as this ship's going to run. And then the world's ship is about to run aground. So tuck that one away in your heart. Let me give you this name and number again. There's four reports there. I want to recommend them as high as I can, USA.gold. Excuse me. I keep saying that's the wrong one. It's USAgold.com. USAgold, all one word, USAgold.com. In their letterhead, they got these gold coins here in the middle, and it just looks like a dot to me. Anyway, this guy's name and number over here is, I'll give it to you again. His name is Michael J. Kosares, K-O-S-A-R-E-S. And they're at Continental Precious Metals Incorporated, www.usagold.com, four reports. And that guy will tell you where the bear does it. And that tells you, and these programs explain to you, here's why I'm bullish on gold, here's why I'm into gold, here's why I think that this is what you're going to need. Now, if you've got another idea, get after it. Hey, that's it. I got to start reminding you that and winding down here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. And if you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through our webpage. And all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet now by title and date so that you can listen to this program or this series of programs at your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. I've got to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course, we'll fall. Until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.